Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
It's episode 210 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam B. Dave. With me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hello.
I just wiped out 100 episodes with a flick of a wrist.
Man, not even a flick of a wrist, just with a word.
With a word.
What kind of power is this?
A terrible, terrible power that I will misuse. There's a lot of science fiction going on.
Yeah. It's a science fiction palooza, and nice. I assume you're talking about the announcement of the movie The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown. That is what we're talking about. Right?
Of course. We had the conclusion to this is not the first two part. It feels like the first two part of Discovery, but it isn't, is it?
No. I think there was another one.
There was like season one or something.
Yeah.
We have our two-parter it had ties because, you know, half the plot was one thing, half of it was another. Mm-hmm. But it felt still very disconnected from the season, which was not a bad thing.
Sure. Yeah, no, it felt like, well, it would feel like a backdoor pilot if it weren't for the fact that the events of the actual spinoff don't take place in this universe.
Well, don't they?
Well, I mean, they don't take place in the Mirror Universe, is what I mean.
Oh. Well, yeah. It's still a backdoor pilot, though.
Oh, yeah.
In a way.
Oh,
totally in a way.
Is. Yeah, in a way.
And it's a weird shape for a backdoor pilot, right? Because you are right. Like, normally backdoor pilots are like, here's what the show's going to be.
Right. Like, so you'd send Georgiou to, like, the past and give her an hour or so with Section 31 or whatever the hell that's
right.
Called.
Whereas this is just like, look, don't we all love Georgiou?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what did you think of it overall?
I enjoyed it. It was a little messy in some ways, but I don't care.
Right.
Because it basically gave us Michael and Giorgio in the Mirror Universe, which we never got to see in the first season.
Right.
So that's
I mean, there was a lot of fun there. Mm-hmm. I will say that reveal of who the mystery guy that everyone's like, is he a Q? But he has a name. He can't be a Q. Was wonderfully done.
Yes, I did enjoy that.
Like, I legit, like, had, like, an oh, damn moment when it happened.
Now, is this a character that, like, this Guardian of Forever, is this a character that's been around in previous series?
With this actor, no.
No,
but
not with
the Guardian of Forever thing obviously has been out since the original series and came back, I believe, in like Enterprise, something like that, with the Time War.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, Enterprise actually had the Time War.
That's true. I'd kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah, I never actually watched it, but I was just looking into it, going like, have we seen this? Yeah, so Enterprise apparently had Guardians of Forever bit, and they've appeared in books, and it's always known that like it's a sentient thing. I don't know if it's shown up with like a physical body before now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My guess is if it did, it was an Enterprise.
Because I was watching and I'm like, I couldn't recall if I had seen the Guardian of Forever
right.
before, but I thought, even if not, that is one of the most Star Trek things you could ever see or do. So.
Yeah. No, and I do love that they pulled the original audio for when he says the name.
Okay, because I knew that I liked the audio.
Oh, I don't know if it was actually the original audio, but it was like they did the same voice effect with the, you know, Guardian of Forever. It was just, that was classy.
Yes. Yeah, and the door becomes that big sort of crazy stone board.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. With two goodbyes, with two goodbyes for Georgiou, one with Michael, and then they do another one sort of on the in the ready or like on the deck right. of the ship. So it was cool.
So I need to read you some stuff.
Okay.
Because, as you know, the person who reviews it for AV Club hates this show.
Oh, I know. And I saw the rating for it, like, and I didn't even click on the review.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. I don't
can
I
read
hear
you?
You
don't want to hear it?
No. Let's hear it.
Okay. Because I have a few sections here that are just like, holy crap. So discussing the whole, like, you know, like, because they especially hate the Mirror Universe stuff. It's, you know, it's like, oh, look, we get Michael. But evil Michael isn't our Michael. She's barely a caricature. There's no mystery, no suspense in seeing her pretend to be quote-unquote good only to be evil again because she exists in a ludicrous universe that makes no logical sense. Universes don't have inherent moral qualities, but since the only reason the Mirror Universe has any appeal at all is in its nightmare scenario version of reality, we have to keep pretending like it makes sense that there's a place where most everyone is bad just 'cause. But then, the more time various Trek shows spend on it, the more writers inevitably try and give it depth and ground it, and the more obvious it becomes, this is all a very silly idea that should have been retired ages ago.
That's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, especially since they've gone to some trouble in earlier movies to actually even sort of show, like, a different history that leads
right.
to, like, why these people are just big-ass jerks instead of...
Right,
I mean,
it's not that they're all evil, it's just that, their society is geared towards this, and that's kind of what this episode especially brings home.
Right, I mean, it is, and it can be cartoonish. I mean, this is true.
Sure,
but
it's also like Star Trek.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Okay, but we're not done.
Okay.
We're ostensibly going through all of this to see if Georgiou has really changed, but the simple fact that she lives in the Prime Universe and hasn't murdered anyone we liked should be more than enough. She's gone from fascist dictator to insult comic. It wasn't earned, it wasn't growth, it was simply an inevitable outcome of the writers deciding they wanted to keep the actress around longer.
Oh my god, he doesn't get it.
He does not get it.
It's like, it's not important for us to know, Georgiou has to know she's changed.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, all the characters know it, but she is fighting it.
Right.
He doesn't get how stories work. But then, the capper. Michael returns, and we get a scene of the cast drinking and talking about how great Georgiou was. I don't think she talked to half of these people unless she was insulting them. It's a strange, unnecessary tribute, especially given that she said her goodbyes to the people who had any reason to remember her last episode, that would make more sense in a longer-running series, but apparently the show can never pass an opportunity to take a victory lap, warranted or otherwise. Michelle Yeoh is a great actress. Georgiou gave her a chance to goof around for a while and get paid for it. Godspeed, good luck, and I hope she enjoyed herself. Now let's take some small comfort in realizing that we might finally have put the Mirror Universe behind us and then get on with things.
Huh.
Like, he manages to be like, no, she's a great actress, but also fuck this. In the same,
yeah.
like, fucking sentence. And the idea that, like, again, that, like, there can be criticism, of course, in the, well, did she really interact with some of these people? Because we never really saw it. You could lay that at the show's feet, sure. But it also, obviously, helps build out the idea that more happens than we get to see.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Like, it completely ignores the actual stories with her.
And here's the thing. If they didn't have that scene, then Hanlon would be writing, like, a screed about how they didn't even, like, blink or say anything about Georgiou, which means that she didn't matter. Like, that's the obvious move that he would
right.
have made. It's just, he's basically got the show in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
And
it amazes me, though, like, how little he understands how actual story works. Like, she insulted them, so why would they miss her? Like, okay, obviously this is a man who's never had an asshole friend.
Yeah.
Which I refuse to believe, although it might just be that he's the asshole friend.
that's quite possible.
I just, oh god. No, I went to go read it because I knew he hated the show, and I knew he hated Mirror Universe stuff, and I'm like, oh, this will trip all of his boxes. Oh, Christ. That fucking review. Anyway, I just, such a fun episode.
Oh, yeah, like the two of them together, back to back?
Yeah.
It was good. They ended that one storyline, the Mirror Universe storyline in the second episode, sooner than I expected. But then I realized they had to keep going with the A plot. the stranded ship or the long dead ship.
Yes.
So I was like, sure.
That we have to actually get to there soon because we're running out of time in the season. Yeah. And this also gives us a weird setup for the Giorgio show eventually. Mm-hmm. Because if it happens back when the Mirror Universe were combined, A, it could happen any time. Like, I don't remember when they're supposed to have split apart further.
Right. Yeah, we don't know this yet.
So, but we do know that the What's-His-Face is in the show. Ash?
Oh, okay. Good.
So it'll probably be back to around then.
Yeah,
right?
That's
back to like pre-Enterprise.
What I figured. Yeah.
So we have her going back to that timeline and working Section 31, but having all of this future in her head. And how are you going to make that play?
Oh, that's a good point. We shall see.
Yeah. I think it just makes it all way more interesting.
By the way, I know now who I can cosplay as. If I do a Star Trek cosplay.
Yeah.
I can do the Guardian because. Oh, yeah. That hat and jacket combo is literally just what I wear.
Nice.
So
I'm like, also, I didn't notice this at the time, but I noticed it in someone else mentioning, talking about the show, that the first part of this explicitly mentions the Kelvin universe.
Does it?
When it brings back that first guy and they're like talking about like what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. They make mention of, like, he came from, like, a universe where there was an errant Romulan mining ship.
Huh.
Like, they explicitly mention that, like, he basically, that guy came from the Kelvin universe.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes, I do remember this, yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're never going to follow up on it, but it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun Easter egg, as they say.
Right. Well, because again, like the Kelvin universe stuff folds in the original universe stuff, but we've never had, because we never could, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it happened so late in the timeline that only Picard and this show happened after it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no other way to mention the Kelvin timeline except here.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of awesome that they were just like, let's just mention it. Let's just go there. It's Star Trek. We can do that.
I also have to say the Mirror Universe in season 3 looks a lot better than the one from season 1.
Yeah.
Just generally like the set decoration, the costumes.
I mean, they had more time.
They had more time. Yeah, exactly. So they were able to like sort of plan it out a little better and stuff.
Right. I mean, and they've been there before, and, you know, again, the show's had burn-in.
Precisely.
Speaking of... Here's a mess of a segue. Speaking of burn-in...
Uh-huh.
The Expanse came back.
Right. So, yeah.
I just, since, you know, they were always going, mentioning, like, the burn...
The burn, yeah, and there's
for,
literally
for ships one... as opposed to Star Trek's. The yeah, see. Anyway, I was going for a thing. I didn't quite land it.
You could have brought in Michael Burnham.
I could have.
And you could say, speaking of burn.
Well, I just think it's funny that the burn is, of course, Star Trek is Discovery's big MacGuffin this season too.
Right.
So, anyway, Expanse came back.
Expanse did come back.
With 3 episodes. As Oops. Is now, I think, HBO and Amazon's new method.
Yep.
Which I personally kind of like. I'm really kind of digging the, like, here's a big dose and then we'll dole it out.
I like it too. I'm a little torn, but I'm kind of glad they didn't drop all the episodes. Because I wouldn't be doing anything. I'd just be watching.
Well,
just be binging the Expanse.
I'll tell you,
it'll be
like,
done, right?
I force myself to watch one a day.
Oof.
Because I really do like the Expanse as a weekly show. Like, they still kind of structure it that way. Like, they have good lead outs. They have that thing where you kind of want to sit with an episode for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, I'm going to watch one a day. it was not easy to make myself do that because I want to just go through them.
Yeah.
But I managed it. Yeah, I'll tell you, weirdly, although there were bits in this season so far, in these first three episodes, that I love as much, if not more, than anything else the show has ever done, I also kind of, sort of, am starting to feel like I'm almost glad the show is ending soon.
Really?
Yeah. They're doing a thing that no other show really ever commits to, and I see why. Splitting your characters this hard?
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that, you know, it's like, that's great, and you get to cover a lot of ground, and look at all these characters you like, but I also like the characters interacting with each other.
Yeah, like everybody is sort of split into their own little storyline.
Yeah, like so hard that they can't, like, and over a great distance, right? Like, they can't just meet up. Like, Magicians did it too,
mm-hmm.
but because it wasn't, like, galactic distances.
Yes.
You know, they could like, meet back in the loft.
Exactly, yeah. Season 4 did that, and Season 5 had some of that as well.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's quite true. Like, and I knew this was coming, because, I mean, having read the novel Nemesis Games, everybody is sort of scattered to the winds after the comparatively sort of, like, focused Chibola Byrne novel.
Right.
And Nemesis Games... Oh, jeez, my cat is just freaking out. Shh. Sorry. He's standing on the cat tree at the other end of the room, looking at me and crying. Because that's what he does.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Anywho, Nemesis Games, like I said, it's probably my favorite of all the novels, but it is very different in some ways because of all the way that characters are all split. Like, we've got Bobby and why is his name escaping me? Played by Cass Anwar.
I know, I can't think of it either suddenly.
Yeah.
Good word. Right. Anyway, him.
Bobby and him. And we've got Amos, and we're going to have Clarissa coming into the picture pretty soon as well. So that's going to be their story. So.
Yeah, like I think it's something that works better in novels than in TV.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And again, it's one of those things, like, sometimes you see it in a TV show where they're like, they won't let the characters separate, and you're like, but they would! And it can feel kind of annoying, and then you see someone do it right, which is what they're doing here, and you go, oh no, this is why you don't do this all the time.
Exactly. I've got a thought on this, but I'm going to go pour myself a quick cup of coffee.
Go, pour some coffee.
I'll be right back.
I will hum a tune.
Thank you.
I could edit this out, but no, instead you're just stuck listening to me whinge along while Aiden pours a cup of coffee. So, just a friendly reminder, of course, Aiden has read all of the Expanse books. I have read the first one and then decided to hold off until after the TV show because I didn't want to spoil myself and was enjoying the TV show for the TV show. So, that is not really a big thing, but, you know, it makes some sense of the way we talk about it. Right about now, Aiden is looking for a cup, wondering where his cup is, wondering if the cat licked that cup, pouring some coffee. I believe in him. You believe in him. Collectively, our faith will see him through this moment. Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Did you just finish your hum?
I actually just... Never mind. You'll hear it eventually.
Oh boy.
It's fine.
I was going to draw on my fairly recent experience as what is turning out to be, on a very, very, very small scale, kind of a showrunner for the radio play. We're a few episodes in now. And the first episode that we wrote and put on, it all mostly takes place at this sort of party/ritual.
Sure.
And that's where you get all the main characters in the world are introduced and so on. The second one was very different. It was much more focused. It's just a lot of separate scenes with two or three characters each.
Okay.
And then we wrote a Christmas special. I didn't write that one. It was another guy. And he imagined like a big Christmas party. And I realized, and it's much more expansive with like all the characters from the first episode are brought back in. And I just realized, like, I remember watching The Vampire Diaries and laughing at it because every single episode was a ball or a party or a cotillion or a big sort of like traditional thing that does not exist in the world, but does in the Vampire Diaries world. And now I realize that you do that because it's the way of getting all your characters into one space, all there for the same reason, but they've got different things to do and they can all interact with each other or separately without having to explain anything.
Right.
And it's, so I'm like, oh shit. And I'm just bringing that around thinking with The Expanse is that you always, from the perspective of having a television show, you always have the main characters kind of in the same space. And so they're always able to sort of interact with each other. But this is quite different.
Right. Well, I mean, again, in a lot of shows, it's inherent in the setup. Like, that's mm-hmm. something you think about when you're setting up a show, right? Like,
Like for
Star Trek, they all work on the same ship.
Right.
Or the same space station. You know, Magicians got really, got a lot harder in the later seasons, and they started to fracture it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Farscape, same ship.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, any show you think of a crew, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or like an office comedy, obviously, right? Like
right.
any sort of workplace thing or a hospital show, they all work at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have that inherent in your setup, suddenly you have a problem.
Yeah, and it reminds me actually of the high school seasons of Buffy versus the college and adulthood seasons of
right.
And like, yeah, like in the first three seasons, you had everybody in the same spot heading towards one goal. And then as soon as they got out of high school, some of them were in college, some of them were off elsewhere. And it just, the show suffered as a result because you didn't have that like setting to like bind everyone together.
Exactly. Glee had the same problem, right?
Mm,
like,
yeah.
I feel like Riverdale's about to have the same problem.
That's one of Riverdale's problems.
I heard something about Riverdale's going to do a 7-year time jump.
7 years. I knew there was a time jump. I didn't realize it was.
Like, I thought it was like seven. I'm like, how are they going to make them all look 7 years older? So I'm curious if it actually is 7 years. Like, it can't be, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like a year.
They already look like, you know, mid 20s.
They're just going to borrow the old man makeup from Supernatural.
give them really bad wigs.
Yeah, and just frown a lot. That's it.
Yep.
There you go.
Maybe put an old man like cardigan on them.
Uh huh.
Just I keep on thinking back to that. I'm like, man, oh man, you guys did not have a lot to work with in that episode.
But anyway, so Expanse.
Expanse.
Yeah, like it. So the fracturing is kind of hard because like I don't necessarily care about all of the characters the same.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And they want to include all the characters, so they have to find ways. I mean, I know the story does this, but they have to find ways to make that happen. And so it's one of those things of like, but I like this character, but I want to see more of this character, but I also, right. you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy with like, I'd be kind of happy with just like the Amos show.
So long as it was like, so long as there were like bumps, every episode should start and end with him having to have like a big, awkwardly flirty meeting with Abathurl. Like that's,
right.
That has become one of the weird highlights of the show.
Yeah, it would be like, you know, how Doogie Howser ends, like, every episode with, like, you know, with him sort of,
with
like,
the,
summarizing
his blog,
his
yeah.
So, like, every episode could end with, like, him meeting with Avasarala, going, well, I learned something today. And it'd be like, what did you learn? I learned you look hot in that sarong. You know, whatever.
It's so weirdly, like, perfectly, like, awkward and yet not. And just mm-hmm. the two characters not only bounce off each other so beautifully, but so do the actors.
Yes.
It's just, God, I don't, like I said, like, I assume it's in the books.
Not really.
But, okay, because I was I don't know if it's in the books and they got lucky, or just they realized that they had gold on their hands at some point.
Right. Yeah, I find that, like, the whole thing in the TV, like, Amos having sex, and Amos, like having some, even a vaguely healthy relationship to sex is odd for me in the show, because there's something just deeply dysfunctional about Amos's personality in the novels The sort of place that like makes it so he's kind of always alone.
Gotcha.
This is something different for the series.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, we talked about this a little bit in email, but just I will always be in awe of the work done with Amos on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like writing that character, making that character like live and breathe and be everything that he is in the weird ways that he is,
right,
is so damnably hard.
Yes. Just
like that might be the hardest type of character to write.
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's easy.
It's
just
not
to
a mask. It doesn't slip. It's just him.
Right. Yes.
So you don't get the relief moments that you would normally get with a character like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's really easy just to make him like Batman, basically.
Badass. Right.
But with nothing else going on. But they always manage to complicate his motivations in some interesting
and
ways.
And simplify them as well. Like, that's the thing. Is it, like, you could Batman him. I maintain, like, the Batman thing needs the release valve in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at something like Person of Interest, right? Like, Reese is set up to be this, but then he has his, like, little fun, you know, charming moments and all this. Amos is just Amos. He is exactly what it says on the tin and never anything more or less.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is so weirdly complex to sell.
Yeah.
You know, that entire bit in the first thing where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to be in this bunk. And, you're threatening the people in this bunk. Like, I don't know them. But I don't really like bullies, and it's where I'm sleeping, so guess you're going to have to go away now. And when he was just telling that story, and they're like, yes, so? And he just keeps going until he reaches his threat.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, never speeds up. Never, like, just, it just mesmerizing.
Yes.
And then the, I hate to wait.
Oh my god, yeah, that was like, one of the best moments in that episode.
Yeah.
Certainly one of the best in this block of three. You know, one of the things I found really, really fascinating in episode two, when Amos or Tim or whatever his name is, comes home or comes back to Baltimore, is that they made a choice not to like dress up like the locations to look super futuristic.
Right.
Like it still looks like 20th and 21st century in some ways. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they don't, why build out, why change things here? Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. And I found that, I mean, A, it's cheaper to do it that way.
Right. And they added some bits and, you know, infrastructure takes time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just, God, all those Amos scenes, like in Baltimore especially, he's just, you know, straight. But you also like get that sense of like how he's grown.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the beginning of the show.
Yes.
You're really here just about a house? Like, yep.
Yeah. No,
and of course the reveal that, like, you know, that's not his name. It's the name of a person he killed.
Right. That's kind of cool. I had no idea. I haven't read The Churn, so that, like, his whole background is, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
So, but I guess we're going to get lots of little flashbacks with him and I think Lydia is sort of caretaker, mentor, partner. I'm not sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's going to be odd. That much I know.
Yeah, that first flashback threw me. Like when he's seeing his kid self.
Oh, yeah, because I was looking at that. I'm like, is he
about to go deal with this? Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
and then when they walk outside and they're nowhere and he looks at the door, I'm like, was that a flashback? Like, it didn't land until the second one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because when I saw it, I was like, okay, is he looking at something that's happening? Or is he remembering? And then he walked out, and there was no one there. And I'm like, okay, this is a memory. So
right, like that's like I said, like I was leaning that way, but I wasn't like really sure until.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, personally, I like the way they handled that. That was.
Oh no, I do too. Yeah. I actually also like the way it was kind of like a little mini reveal.
Mm-hmm.
That if you weren't really paying attention, you might not catch that it's the same, like the same people.
Yeah, I mean, you could be looking. I mean, frankly, you could be looking away from the screen at that moment and miss it altogether. Like that's it was blink and you'll miss it. That's that term just came in really handy.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate things like that
mm-hmm.
that reward actually watching the show.
Yes,
but also don't penalize you. Like if you didn't see that bit, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So which are there any storylines that are just not really working for you right now?
There isn't a storyline really yet with Drummer, and like I love Drummer so much. That when she first just like steps onto the bridge, just because he's like, I'm Drummer. It was just like, it was such a great moment. And they're not really, I mean, I'm sure that they will. But so far in three episodes, it's just kind of this vestigial thing of we really like this character.
Yeah. I mean, I loved all the scenes. I like her, her as like the captain of the Poly Pirate ship. Like that, right. That is all great. I'm waiting for more from Drummer. Oh, I think, yeah. I mean, it seems like she's making a play to become her own sort of power in the belt, which,
sure,
which I find interesting.
But yeah, it's like, there's that, and the whole, like, I have to go find my son thing, and that it just, again, it feels like placeholder-y.
Fair enough. Yeah, they, I know that, like, Naomi and her son thing, that I think, I mean, if it's like the novel, that sort of bears some fruit later on.
And that's the thing. Like, I trusted them to have something to be aiming at. Mm-hmm. It's early days and you can't always see it.
Right.
But it's just like, right now, I'm like, you know, we have like the weapon sale thing, which is obviously a big deal, given that they just, you know, nuked part of Earth.
Yes.
You know, we have the Amos stuff, which is just always going to be fascinating because it's Amos.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ongoing, like, Holden thing, which is not interesting because of Holden, but it's, you know, it's interesting because of everything going around him, as always.
Yes.
And it's like, outside of those three, everything else is just kind of tangential.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it'll fold back in and all pay off right, but just at this stage, I'm like, okay. I get it, like, and I'm sure that when it all comes together, I'll love it. But like, right this second, I'm like, I guess we could keep cutting away.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
well, one thing I was surprised by was how quickly they basically dropped the rocks hitting Earth bomb.
Yeah,
I thought for sure they would like keep that sort of like that ticking clock going, and then like wait for later in the season. But it's like, nope, this is a. But like these three episodes were kind of like setting everything up, and now we're going to see the fallout from that.
Yeah.
Because that's
it continues a trend of like, you know, the show tends to do big moments like that would normally be like a series, you know, a season ender or like a mid-season break thing. And I mean, it is kind of the mid-season break they're releasing the first three at once, but like just doing them randomly whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
Which is great, because you never know when, like, big shit might go down on the show. Because a lot of shows, you know, you kind of know, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes they'll just do the big things, like, right in the middle of a season. Or, like, you'll come to the, like, a season ender. I think it was, like, the end of season two, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was season two, where they're, like, the middle of the season. No, it was, like, two episodes before the end of the season. They're just like, yeah. So here's this big thing. You're like, what?
And I think it's a great solution to, like... Like it's unorthodox, but the alternative is, I think, what we see pulling down so many other shows in this era, like of really bad pacing,
right?
And just filler episodes in a series that are supposed to be tightly plotted and story driven.
Yeah,
so, I mean, they're not going to do that. They
exactly
they're going to like,
but it also like... gives it a feeling of fearlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the show more compelling to watch, because again, like, you don't know,
yes, exactly,
when you're going to hit a moment that big. You can't just be like, well, it's a mid-season episode, I'll just kind of half watch it. You mm-hmm. you don't know, like, it's a mid-season episode, but fuck you, like, everyone could die, who knows, like, it's it really does start to feel like a show with the safety off.
Yes.
Which is again great. Also, and I know this isn't like a big deal, it's not like it, you know, bothered me or anything, it was just weird. But the sudden, you know, the language shift, which was happening at least on US TV a little bit more and more every season, and obviously they shift to Amazon now, they're like, yay, we can curse. And that's fine. But the random nudity this, like, in these three episodes felt weird for the show.
Random nudity?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like it was, like, a lot of everything. Like, it was just weird.
Hmm.
It just, because it just caught me as just, like, just, huh. Like, it wasn't... I don't know. It's not like it added anything to the story. Like, there was no reason for them to do it except, look, we can show a tit. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Oh, and actually, but the copies that I watched, I did not see that degree of nudity.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah. So, it was, everything was, I mean, more, there was more flesh exposed than before, but by and large, nope, I didn't see anything like that.
Huh. Yeah, no.
Maybe I'll just have to watch closely.
On US Amazon, there's a scene where Drummer gets out of bed.
Hmm.
And you're just like, well, okay, why?
Hmm. Yeah, no, I saw that, but I thought the camera artfully, maybe I missed it. I must have just missed it.
Yeah, it's not like long, like I said, it's not like a long lingering like Cinemax thing or anything. It's just, it was just, I mean, come on. But it was just enough to make me go like, okay, but why? Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, sorry, I'm just remembering all those like Cinemax shows where like when the women would like, time to get a shower. It's
right.
Like, oh, I guess we got our next 10 minutes filled up now. Which I always thought was, I mean, as a kid, I thought that was great. But now I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to do this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like I said, it just so stuck out as we're on Amazon now.
Right.
You know, let's poll the cast to see who's most comfortable with this type of thing.
Exactly.
It's just a little weird. Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mind like nudity in like the right context, and I can
sure.
see it happening on that ship because like there's just not much room, right? And people are
right.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it's not like it was exploitative. It wasn't like anything other than just like a perfectly natural someone getting out of bed and like, you know, getting dressed. Like that's fine. I had no problem with it. It was just because it felt so different from the show that we had been watching.
Yes. Well, Adam, this is science fiction, but it's grounded in the real world. And in the real world, people are naked sometimes.
I see.
just like the Watchmen movie.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
I swear to God, if I'm watching The Expanse, Hallelujah starts to play, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that to us. They're not that cruel.
I can only hope. Like, does Snyder have like a bulk deal
song?
On the show?
On the song?
I'm
not sure. Well, I heard that like they actually had to pull the track from the trailer at one point because they had not cleared the rights properly, and then they restored it basically. But it was kind of like, oh geez, dudes. Oh my god, cat.
I guess I think they just used it because they just assumed that, like, again, he has like a bulk deal.
Right. Yeah. He's sort of like, or he believes he does, or something.
Yeah. Well, I bought this once in 1984, so.
So here we go again. Oh, speaking of 1984, I don't know if you've seen any of the early reviews for Wonder Woman 1984.
Only like kind of loose. Like this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Vulture. I can't remember the reviewer, but she basically said, this is not the movie that we have been waiting for. And was
really?
not happy with it. Yeah. It's an interesting counterpoint. I think the most of what I've read has been sort of positive with maybe occasional caveats of, well, it's a little long. One person said it worked better as a rom-com than as a superhero movie, which I'm
fine.
Cool. Yeah, I'm like, sure, bring it on. Bring on a superhero rom-com.
Yeah. Like a decent one, not that fucking Will
My
Smith.
Super ex-girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, that's like the go-to for like bad genre blending for superhero films. But the Vulture reviewer was just really, really scathing about how empty this movie was at its core.
I am curious how that rollout's going to go because, like, Disney, who prepares for this sort of thing, crashed when the season ender of Mandalorian aired.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, who cares? I mean, I personally don't care. But not to say who cares. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. But I'm just like, I'm wondering how the Wonder Woman thing will happen. Christmas Day, just, oh, that's going to suck.
Oh yeah, no, I'm betting you any amount of money that a lot of people are gonna be like opening up HBO Max and being pissed off when it crashes.
Right, because like I was thinking about even just like staying like until I heard it was 2.5 hours long. I've been thinking like maybe I'll just stay up and watch it so that I don't wake up in the morning and have all the spoilers.
Right.
And then I'm like, no, because it'll just crash. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. but if I do it first thing in the morning. On Christmas Day, it's going to do the same thing, isn't it? So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And can we be honest here?
Sure.
As exciting as you know, look, Wonder Woman's going to be out Christmas Day, and you can watch it at home, and yes, that's sad because theaters are awesome, but hey, we at least get this movie finally. I'm honestly more excited, in the U.S., for the 26th. Now, you get these the same day.
Oh.
But in the U.S., we get it a day later because the next season of Letterkenny drops.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm just like, yeah. I'm kind of glad we get it the day after so I can feel like, okay, well, Christmas, I'll watch Wonder Woman. Because if they both dropped, I'd be like, I'll get to Wonder Woman.
when I have time.
Yeah, new season of Letterkenny drops. That's all I do that day.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's going to be our Christmas day as well. Open presents, we're going to... Have some. We've ordered Christmas dinner from our favorite restaurant.
Oh, nice!
Just gonna watch a load of Letterkenny. I'm gonna be doing a Zoom call with my family. But anyway, yeah, Letterkenny is gonna be great, and I think we're gonna. Well, I mean, we can't watch Wonder Woman right away here in Canada. So.
Actually, I think you can. Hold on.
Really?
I think, kind of.
I mean, it'll be on theaters. I mean, for home viewing.
Well, no. But I think they were talking about in a bunch of places. Let me see what the latest is. There we go. Yeah, there'll be a premium video on demand release in Canada.
Oh, okay.
For a 48-hour rental price of $30.
Okay, that's...
So it'll be like Amazon Prime, iTunes, all that.
Yeah, so that sounds kind of standard, the $30 price tag.
Yeah. And again, like, keep in mind, when it's on HBO Max, it will only be free on HBO Max for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes away and goes to video on demand, like, pay rental for, like, a year, probably. Or 6 months or whatever, and then it'll probably come back.
Right.
So if you want to see it when it's out, you have a month. Which is, you know, fine.
That'll do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll probably see it before the New Year's out, so.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm hoping to see it on the 25th. We'll see what the gods allow in terms of streaming.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned the season finale of The Mandalorian earlier. And I am aware that you are not a Mandalorian.
No, but feel free. Go for it.
Because I am. I'm honestly not sure how to feel about what they did with the finale. As the season progressed, there was an episode, two episodes back. It was a Robert Rodriguez directed episode. It all pretty much took place in one location. It was like an episode long scene in which they go to this planet. Mando puts the baby on like a seeing stone where he's trying to like contact other Jedi if they're out there, and then baby gets kidnapped. And here's this episode is the rescue where they invade Moff Gideon's ship. And anyway, and at the end they're facing certain doom. They're sealed off in the bridge. A bunch of hardened battle droids, called Dark Troopers, which I just cannot. I was hoping I could get through life without seeing Dark Troopers, but obviously I can't. Are at them, and then a lone X-wing shows up, and a mysterious Jedi dressed in black, with one glove.
Really?
Yeah. Comes and basically mows through the Dark Troopers, and then comes and retrieves Baby Yoda or Grogu, and which is kind of the end of I think of that storyline, but it's But they obviously it's Luke Skywalker, but they've got Hamill playing him, and they've digitally de-aged him to look like he does in Return of the Jedi. And they wisely have lots of shots where his head is just out of the frame.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Because every like, time he talks, if you look too, if you're paying too much attention, it's just it. Ain't
I was going to ask because there are two ways this goes. This either goes kind of the Civil War, where they took some footage of Robert Downey Jr.'s face from like old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that, like with his whole little memory thing in the past?
Yeah.
And they did that, and it pretty much worked, right? Because they had enough footage.
Yeah.
Or you have fucking Tron Legacy.
Yeah. Which, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
This pretty much works. It's clear that what they did was they took old footage and generated. Yeah. So it looks like the Luke Skywalker of old. But like I say, like if you watch him talk, they don't give him too many lines either, which is in keeping with a stoic Jedi personality.
Sure.
So I'm kind of like, well, okay, you bring in Luke Skywalker, and now a bunch of dipshits are going to be crowding YouTube talking about how Dave Filoni has fixed quote unquote Luke Skywalker. Of course. But then they have a post credit scene which goes back to Jabba's palace, and Boba Fett walks in and takes over the place. And then it says, "The Book of Boba Fett coming December 2021. And I'm just like, why does anybody give a shit about Boba
Fett?
That'll
be season 3.
Yeah.
Well, because it says The Mandalorian. It never says which one.
True. Although there's many lines are spent talking about how Boba Fett is not a Mandalorian, but a clone with Mandalorian armor. So, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever, indeed. The one good thing about that is that Ming-Na Wen plays Boba Fett's sort of sidekick / companion.
Okay.
And she is a hell of a lot of fun. She's basically playing her S.H.I.E.L.D. character.
I was going to say, like, at what point does Boba Fett, like, just put on, like, a suit?
That's right, yes. I mean, I don't
know.
Go
full Coulson.
What's that?
He can go full Coulson. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think, I find this just baffling. I mean, this is somebody who, in the original movies, looked around and then, like, fell into, like, a living pit.
But his toy sold.
Exactly. I know. There is something about his look that just really resonated.
Look, all I can say about Star Wars is that I had a realization, outside of Mandalorian, I had a realization that got me excited about a Star Wars show in a different way.
Mm.
I was already excited about the Lando show.
Oh, yeah.
But I realized the Lando show might give us young Lobot.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something.
I'm a big Lobot fan, man. I don't know why. Big fucking Lobot fan.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, and like a lot of Star Wars really is. I mean, this was all about nostalgia and like sort of reconnecting with the things that a lot of the people loved as kids.
Right.
And it's not lost on me that the last scene is essentially Baby Yoda, a little sort of trusting child.
Sure.
A 50-year-old child, mind you.
Uh-huh.
Like holding his hands out for Luke Skywalker and being swept up in his arms. I'm like, wow, is there any... I'm like, do Filoni and Favreau kind of hate fans? And they're just... love them? And are like, is Baby Yoda, a.k.a. Grogu, the ultimate like stand-in for the fans?
Could be.
So,
I also had a real weird moment because I think it was, I don't know, a couple weeks ago when I was saying, like, one of the things I really wish was that, you know, all this huge Star Wars expansion, like, that we could get it with Star Trek. And I did realize that, like, in the next year, in the next year or so, we're going to have 5 concurrently running Star Trek shows.
That's fucked up.
5. Once the Pike show and the JoJo show come on, mm-hmm. we have those two, we have Discovery, we have Picard, and Lower Decks.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of Star Trek.
Right. Like, it kind of snuck up on you, didn't it?
Yeah. I'm legitimately excited for all of them except maybe Picard. But I'm
except maybe Picard. Yeah. I still have to actually watch Lower Decks. I will do this. I promise.
I mean, it's not a huge time investment, and the more the show goes on, the better they get at figuring out what they're supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we get to count a sixth Star Trek show and just horn in Orville? Do we get to do that?
Kinda, sort of. I've finished my Mando.
Yes.
And this is the worst thing, and I knew it was coming as soon as I was watching it happen. Like, Luke lands, and he's in his robe and hood and crap, and he's just basically killing these dark troopers, like throwing them around, crushing them with his force choke, crush-o-matic thing, lightsabering them. And then I thought, you know what's going to happen is that people are going to, like, unironically compare it to the Darth Vader hallway scene in Rogue One.
Oh, God, did they?
They sure as shit did. Like, just the fucking Twitter and shit filled up with, like, footage comparison and people going, same energy. I'm like, no. No. Darth Vader was an evil person killing human beings, killing the good guys. This is a good guy killing evil robots. Like, how is this equivalent? Like, unless the only thing you respond to in Star Wars is violence and force, and it's all just moral equivalence.
I am
answering my own question there. Because obviously for part of the fandom, that's what it is. And also, of course, I mean, part of the some people's, like, inability to handle The Last Jedi was simply that, like, the message of that was, like, kindness and choosing not to engage unless, you know, and so on. And this is antithetical to, like, these people who just want to see righteous violence dealt out against a foe, whether it's, like, the bad guys or the good guys. That's all they care about.
Exactly.
Which is really fucking weird.
It
does not give me faith in humanity. I'll just say that.
Well, but we do need to end a little early this week.
We do.
So we should just play some music and feel kind of sad about all this for a while.
Oh, yes. Sadness.
And then next week, hopefully, we'll be able to talk about Wonder Woman and Letterkenny.
Oh, yeah.
And more Discovery and Expanse. It'd be a good week for TV.
Damn
and movies, I guess.
And Christmases.
Yeah.
All right.
Music.